Well, if we'll stand for the reading of the verse. Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. Well, unless you're not watchful, you know that there are severe issues in our land that need attention. We are not sure our country is moving in the right direction. Our core beliefs, once assumed, seem to be in shambles. One area of concern is our justice system. Do we have swift justice anymore? Do we have justice anymore? Do we have borders anymore? Is there still a basic sense of decency still there? How we handle justice has evolved over the decades in our land. We'll look at different approaches that have been taken and hopefully see where we have gone wrong. How many murders occur in America each year? Are we dealing out justice as it should be? What does the Bible say? Let's look at some facts about murder. Well, the number of murders has risen for two consecutive years, according to FBI stats. The number rose 8.6% in 1 year nationwide to an estimated 17,250 murders in 2016, the most recent year they've got stats for. This was up from 15,883 in 2015. And recent statistics will show that the percentage of murders per 1,000 population is increasing significantly in the cities, while decreasing in the counties. Now, consider this recent story of a man who shot and killed two cops. And he said this in court while TV cameras were running. There was no need to prove all this, blank. I don't bleep regret, blank. The only thing I bleep regret is I only killed two. As he laughed and grinned, he said this in court to Sacramento Superior Court Judge Steve White. And there'll be a picture of him popping up here, I hope. You may have seen this guy on the news. There's more. He was an illegal immigrant, and we'll come back to this later. But this brings up the topic of the death penalty. Should this guy get the death penalty? Most everyone has some strong, heartfelt notions about the topic. Some consider it a necessary evil. Others are deeply concerned that in this day and age, we would go tit for tat with killing someone. Some victims' family members are so angered that they would like to be the avengers, not tomorrow, but today. Some believe that God's plan is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, being a deterrent from other miscreants committing murder as well. He that smiteth a man so that he die, surely shall be put to death. From Exodus 21. There is no good murder. Some murderers are unrepentant, even after being made totally aware of what they have done. Some actually ask to be killed. Not in favor of executions? Well, the alternative is not very good. The prison system is a huge nightmare. Some say it's crueler to an inmate than capital punishment. And we have the chart here showing over 1.2 million people in prisons, another 600,000 or more in jails. And as you see, we have well over 6 million in the system in one form or another. Realize that this figure includes people on parole or probation as well. Over 3.5 million are those on probation, and another 500,000 plus are on parole. Yes, there is an enormous cost in the United States with this. More than $74 billion per year is spent on prisons. with over 800,000 people employed in the prison industry. Typical headlines about prison costs read like these: a year in a California prison costs more than a year at Harvard. Aging prison populations drive up costs, medical costs. So let's examine some facts and some history concerning the death penalty. First, let's look at some history in nearby Hamilton County of Cincinnati, Ohio. And I give some credit to the Cincinnati Enquirer. Back in 1789, we had Fort Washington with a small army garrison. Matthew Ratmore and John Ayers deserted and then were caught. According to Charles Grevy's Centennial History of Cincinnati, they were executed, shot by firing squad as they stood in a corner of the fort. John Wilkinson, commander of the fort, sometime later went further with this proposal: one head chopped off in this way and set upon a pole on the parade might do lasting good in the way of deterring others. These were the first known executions to occur here. They certainly meant business. When it came to hangings, apparently there was no respecting of persons. In other words, if you did the crime, you got hung regardless of stature. A few years later, the gallows were built at 5th and Walnut Streets at present-day Government Square. Then, most civilian executions were performed by hanging. Grevy wrote, "The execution was public, as all such affairs were at that time, and the people gathered to see it. Excursions were brought into the city, and many came as far as 50 miles." According to the Centennial History, a man named Mays became the first to die there by hanging. He had stabbed a former friend to death. Many came to see the execution. In 1897, Ohio went to the electric chair for executions. The executions would now be electrocutions, using 1,750 volts. Two men from Hamilton County were the first in Ohio to be sent to the chair. William Haas was first to be executed. The same day, William Wiley was put to death as well. Haas had killed a woman. Wiley shot his wife. According to the Sacramento Daily Union, both executions were eminently successful. Physicians and experts pronounced the executions as perfect as it was possible to make them. Then there was the convict who had killed an elderly man for his money and was also accused of poisoning three others to death. Wait for it. Not what you were expecting, I'll bet. Her name was Anna Marie Hahn. In 1938, she became the first woman to die in Ohio's electric chair. The governor, Martin Davey, said, "The crimes committed by Mrs. Hahn were so cold-blooded," per the Chicago Daily Tribune. She actually wrote a letter of confession before she died. "I don't know how I could have done the thing I did in my life," she wrote. "Only God knows what came over me." Over time, more changes to executions came. Alton Coleman died by lethal injection in 2002. Oh, yeah, that was Sparky. That was right here in Ohio, the chair. I don't know if it was Cincinnati, but I know it was right here in Ohio. Alton Coleman died by lethal injection in 2002. He and Deborah Brown, during the 1980s, went on a wide-ranging tear of killing, raping, and robbing people, including children. He was on death row in three states. His victims included a 15-year-old girl in Cincinnati. When Coleman was put to death, a victim's father said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." Notice that it was over a decade later that Coleman was put to death. Here is some national history of the death penalty. A timeline. 1834, Pennsylvania was the first to move the executions indoors, ending the public executions. I was going to make this a trivia question. What was the first state to abolish the death penalty? Michigan. And in 1890, the first person was actually executed by electrocution. I found it interesting that in 1907 to 1917, 9 states abolished the death penalty, but by 1920, 5 of them had reinstated it. 1924, the use of cyanide gas is introduced. In 72, in the case Furman versus Georgia, the Supreme Court effectively voided 40 death penalty statutes and suspended the death penalty. In 1976, Gregg versus Georgia, the death penalty was reinstated. 1977, Oklahoma was the first state to adopt lethal injection. 1996, the last execution by hanging. March 1st of 2005, Roper versus Simmons. The Supreme Court rules that the execution of juvenile killers is unconstitutional. 5-4 decision allowed a 17-year-old off the death row. In 2011, the DEA gets involved. And a lot of rigmarole starts with the chemicals used for the lethal injections. Will this one work? Is this one allowed to be used? Can we get this drug? People stopping the making of certain drugs on purpose. A lot of stuff started going back and forth with the chemicals involved. November 6, 2012, a measure to repeal the death penalty in California fails. 2015, Utah Governor Gary Herbert signs legislation making the firing squad an authorized method of death if the drugs required for lethal injection are unavailable. The firing squad was last used in 2010 to execute a convicted murderer, Ronnie Lee Gardner. 2016, voters in 3 states had the referendum on the ballot about the death penalty. In all 3 states, the majorities voted in favor of the death penalty. Now, back to our local territory. In 1997, in Over the Rhine of Cincinnati, Ohio, Raymond Tibbetts beat his wife to death with a baseball bat and stabbed her 21 times. He then killed his landlord downstairs, stabbing him to death, leaving 4 knives stuck in him. Several relatives of the victim said they wanted Tibbetts to be executed. He is currently on death row. What? This is 2018. He did the crime in 1997, and he was sentenced in 1998. 20 years. He was earlier scheduled to die by lethal injection in 2015. Near that time, national issues were stirring around which chemicals would or could be used for lethal injections. His execution was delayed until February 2018. But Ohio Governor John Kasich has now granted a reprieve until October 17th. Intervention by a group called Ohioans to Stop Executions and a letter from juror Ross Geiger to Kasich led to the reprieve. The juror's reasoning had nothing to do with Tibbetts' guilt of the actual murder. Regarding the sentencing portion of the case, Geiger merely contends he wasn't given all of Tibbetts' childhood background history. Are you kidding me? I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. We saw that there were 17,250 murders in 2016. There were 57 in Cincinnati alone. These are not the counts for shootings, which are much higher. These are murders. Now, here's another chart of the murder rate, and that's per 100,000 people. In these last couple of years, it has risen. So one might suspect that there would be thousands of death sentences and executions each year as justice. Think again. Very few are executed. Here are the actual death sentences. Even at its peak, just 315 in 96. Down now to bare bottom levels, 39 in 2017. And then, we are only executing some tiny fraction of the murderers. Just because they get put on death row doesn't mean they ever wind up being executed. A peak of 98 in 99, 23 in 2017. How many murders? 17,250. How many executions? 23. Now, I know there's a lag of time there, but you get the picture. So why is this that we're only executing a tiny fraction? And with the system as it is, it takes a long time from conviction to execution. Can you guess how long it takes on average? Anybody want to make a guess? The average nationwide? 15 months?
Years.
15 years. Very close. It's actually just a little over 15. It's 190 months, say the latest figures, and it's growing as you see from this chart. And that's 190, not days, not weeks, but months. And that calculates to almost 16 years. So you are pretty spot on right there. But are you kidding me? 16 years. Well, the system as is contains a myriad of courts, judges, clerks, bailiffs, reporters, jails, prison guards, food preparation, maintenance engineers, etc., etc. With endless appeals and court proceedings, continuations, etc., is there any wonder why the convictions and executions for murder take so long? Some say it costs more to run a convict with a death sentence all the way through the system to execution than it would cost to place the convict in prison for 40 years. My first thought was, no way. But logic might say they're wrong. But as it is, it appears they are correct. They calculate all the costs, including the lawyers, the prosecutors, public defenders, etc. And society bears the cost. This chart, there's six major categories there, and then they've got subcategories underneath all these. So these don't all add up. All these would help to add up to this. But you've got $80 billion for the correction agencies. But then when you're talking about all this, court cases and everything else, you've got the judicial side of this too. The attorneys, the judges, the courts, the bailiffs. And there's all kinds of other costs as well. But there's a bigger picture here. It doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way, about these costs creating that disparity. There is so much red tape. The system is overly complex. If we had a simple system, the cost-benefit would be a much better ratio. So with the correct system, then, it certainly would not cost more to execute murderers. A man commits murder in a cold minute. No reason for it to take 16 agonizing years to administer righteous justice. But most importantly, what does God say about this? This most certainly angers our Lord. Scripture says, "So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it." From Numbers 35. Some believe the God of the Bible would not want another killing on top of the one that already occurred. They believe the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," in Exodus, literally means no killing, not even to avenge the murder of another. Others believe the commandment actually means, "Thou shalt not murder," and does not apply to a justifiable execution. It is widely accepted, though, that this commandment means, "Thou shalt not murder." The word in the sixth commandment in the original Hebrew is rasak, from Strong's 7523, meaning kill, especially to murder, also manslay. It is also used to mean manslayer or murderer. Moreover, in each of these following scripture citations, that same Hebrew word, rasak, is also translated to the English as murder, as follows. They, the wicked, slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless, from Psalms 94. But the word is murder. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods, whom ye know not? From Jeremiah 7. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." From Matthew 19, the words of Jesus. Jesus said the commandment referred to murder. So it is more than reasonable to say that the translation of the Lord's commandment was meant to be, "Thou shalt not murder." In context with all the other applicable verses, this is the correct answer. Do not be confused by the number of mercy and forgiveness verses contained in the scripture. Certainly, we are to be merciful, forgiving, and turn the other cheek in most situations. But that does not override God's instructions given to us, which are very serious, very specific, and very just. Consider these verses. "These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with the instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death." That all came from Numbers 35. And that covers a lot. First, you see where God provides mercy for the accidental, unawares killing. He allowed for cities of refuge for the one who caused the unintended death of another to flee. A bit of distance will prevent future angry confrontations and preclude the possibility of causing a bad set of negative events. Next, you will see that the Lord gets specific about one striking another with an instrument of iron. Today, that could include a hammer, tire iron, or a knife. Well, that covers Mr. Mays and Mr. Tibbetts we read about earlier. Next, the throwing of a stone is covered. Well, a stone might have been a more common weapon in those days. In more recent times, you might consider a rounded hunk of lead, of a bullet, thrown or shot out of a barrel as a projectile at lightning speeds, a gunshot, somewhat comparable. A stretch? Maybe. But point made. Finally, there's the striking by hand weapon of wood. Today, perhaps a baseball bat, Mr. Tibbetts, cane, or nightstick would apply. But most importantly of all, what the Bible tells us here, that no matter the weapon, if one unjustly causes the death of another, he is a murderer. Further, the murderer must be put to death. Justice. That is what is merciful to the rest of us. Very serious, very specific, very just. Does it stand to reason that the same God who ordered his people to slay thousands upon thousands of people would not even allow capital punishment? What? You mean our God told people to kill? Well, let's read. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 20. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breathes, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods. So ye should sin against the Lord your God. As I said, that came from Deuteronomy 20. Here's another one from Samuel, 1 Samuel. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. From 1 Samuel 15. Oh, but that's just foreigners, you say. What about your own people? Would it be that way? Well, consider this passage in Exodus where God wanted to destroy those who made and worshiped the golden calf. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. From Exodus 32. You probably want to read more of the context of that whole episode. But the point here is, yes, our Lord did tell people to kill. About 3,000 men were then killed by the sword. The Lord did proclaim a time to kill. From Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to die. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. I'm trying to awaken you to the truths of the Bible. The Bible should be your first source of truth, not your pope, cardinal, minister, or priest. They may have told you that the new covenant did away with the law. The law was not done away with since the new covenant or testament. Jesus came to fulfill. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." From Matthew chapter 5. Well, remember our cop killer? The illegal immigrant. You probably want to know what happened with him. Well, Luis Bracamontes shot and killed two cops. He also shot a motorist in the head, then stole his car, and then wounded another police officer before fleeing along with his wife. They probably had to restrain him a bit in court, as you see there. And this is what he had said. "There was no need to prove all this. Blank," Bracamontes said. "I don't bleep regret that bleep. The only thing I bleep regret is I only killed two. I will break out soon and I will kill more. Kill whoever gets in front of me. There's no need for a bleep trial," according to the Sacramento Bee. Well, further, this illegal, was cheered by inmates when brought into prison. He is Mexican, 37, and had been arrested and deported multiple times prior to his shooting rampage. Want to know what else is crazy about this? His latest crimes occurred in October of 2014. It was just this year he was brought to trial. Remember, this is not one of our citizens. This is a Mexican, an illegal immigrant. Then his lawyers tried to have him declared mentally incompetent for trial. Thankfully, incompetency wasn't granted. His lawyers hoped he could avoid the death penalty since a blood test found a high amount of meth in his system that may have made him paranoid. 3.5 long years of court proceedings, delays, continuations, etc., finally ended with a conviction on February 9th. On April 25th, he was sentenced with the death penalty. Why is this animal still alive? Have we no backbone at all? He has mocked our entire system. Do you think maybe we are going the wrong way with our justice system? What kind of loony system do we have? We are too nice, too forgiving, to an extreme, and too politically correct. If we have thousands of murders each year, how come we only have a handful of executions for justice? There should be no excuses, no endless appeals, no technicalities. Where does it say we should give a convicted death row criminal years worth of additional time at our expense, wiggling through endless appeals and court proceedings? Where does it say we should pay for a system to hold them for years and all the associated costs? God's law is so simple, so great, so efficient. Why not use it? We ought to obey God rather than men. From Acts 5. Let's make one point with utmost clarity. This country was established as a Christian nation. No doubt. Separation of church and state is a fraud, an outright fraud. You will not find this bogus statement anywhere in the Constitution or Bill of Rights. What you will find is that the very First Amendment distinctly says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It is freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. There is an all-out war engaged on Christianity. If you thought differently, perhaps you've been brainwashed by the humanists in control of so much of the country. But don't feel bad. Revisionists have rewritten history to remove the truth about our country's Christian roots. We read that even the very elect will be deceived. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. From Matthew 24. Mark Twain said, it's easier to fool people than to convince them they've been fooled. Christians, we have allowed this to happen, letting the heathen push their antichrist beliefs on us in the schools, the town square, in the town hall, and everywhere else. Passivity is not a virtuous trait when the enemy is attacking. Trust that your liberty comes from God, not from man. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. That's a direct quote from the John Adams, second president of the United States. How about this one from John Quincy Adams? The highest, the transcendent glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the precepts of Christianity. So they were merged. There was no separation. At the Constitutional Convention of 1787, James Madison proposed the plan to divide the central government into three branches. He discovered this model of government from the perfect governor as he read Isaiah 33:22, which reads, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. So from there came the three branches of government we now have: the judicial, the legislature, and the executive. And here's one, I had not heard this one before, but this one I think is good. That he is the best friend to American liberty who is most sincere and active in promoting true and undefiled religion. Whosoever is an avowed enemy of God, I scruple not or hesitate not to call him an enemy of his country. John Witherspoon, a signer of the Declaration of Independence. But now that you know, you have work to do. Study. You will learn so much more that has been kept from you. Remember, there are people, not necessarily Christian, working the other side. Ones such as Abe Bonowitz, spokesman for Ohioans to Stop Executions, who said, "If you can guarantee the guy is never getting out, why do you have to kill him?" "Because the Lord God Almighty said so." Amen.